This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Putrajaya is going ahead with the East Coast Rail Link 3.0 project, reverting to the original Northern Alignment, which was approved during the Barisan National Administration. So this Northern Line involves the states of Selangor, Pahang, Terengganu and Kelantan. And according to Transport Minister Datuk Sri Wee Ka Siong, it's estimated to cost 50 billion ringgit and will be completed within 7 years. So the rail is expected to be operational by 2027.
Under the Pakatan Harapan government, the ECRL 2.0 costs were estimated at 44 billion ringgit back then for the southern line. This will cover the states of Selangor, Negeri Sembilan and Johor. The transport minister, we also added that ECRL 3.0 would complete the formation of the National Cargo Hub in Sarinda and increase the efficiency of KTM and ECRL cargo services.
But transport management consultant Rosli Khan in his FMT article yesterday argued that it would be an impressive feat if the single-track ECRL could outdo the double-track KTMB railway by carrying 42% more passengers and moving cargo loads almost five times more than KTMB, which has been in operation for half a century. Now, he joins us on the line to explain his thoughts on the matter. Thanks for joining us, Rosli. So, do you find the assumptions made about the ECRL project perhaps a little bit too optimistic?
Yes, definitely. ECRL started out without a proper study to begin with. So a lot of afterthoughts came into ECRL because no study was done. First, they tried to justify the project by the volume of passengers, but then they realized at some point that the East Coast is sparsely populated. And then came the idea about linking Kuantan Port with Port Klang to carry cargo. But they failed to see that cargo is not transported in that manner between port to port. Cargo is either you import the cargo or you export the cargo. You can't carry cargo from Europe and land it in Port Klang, transfer it by rail to Kuantan Port, and then another vessel pick up in Kuantan and then send it to the Far East. So it doesn't work like that. So that thought came, by a person who don't understand how the whole logistics system works. This is sad to say. They call it the land bridge. Port Klang and Kuantan Port supposed to play that the land bridge role, but in reality, it's not going to happen like that.
So, Rosli, do we need the ECRL considering that we have KTMB's extensive dual track network already in place?
If we did a complete comprehensive study on the requirement of rail transportation for the country, we probably will not go for ECRL because KTMB has got East Coast Line that was built hundreds of years ago from Gemas all the way to Tumpat in Kelantan. It was built with specific purpose at that time because road transport was not easily available. So the British built that line, but we never improved on that line. So if the requirement is to link Kuantan with West Malaysia, then maybe a line could be built from Mentakap to Kuantan, and then some improvement can be done instead of going from Mentakap all the way down to Gemas and then come up to KL again. Then maybe at some point, we can draw a line between the existing rail line into the Klang Valley. That's the whole intention. But we never studied the case properly. So, somebody came up with the idea, let's build a railway, probably because they already have an arrangement to give it to a contractor from a foreign country. Then we end up carrying the baby now. So we never look what are the transport infrastructure that we need and how we affect our logistic costs and logistic movement for the country. And so we never look from that perspective.
Selangor has been vocal in opposing this project, saying it will not help acquire a land for the federal government. How might this affect the ECRL project?
I think it's not unreasonable for Selangor to oppose this because they have got their own development agenda. They wanted to develop the southern part of Selangor, which is less developed than the northern side. And I don't think they would want to leave it to the MOT to decide which part of the state that they should develop first. The MOT is not a development ministry for any state. I mean, if MOT thinks that they can advise Selangor state government on the economic development, why can't they offer the same advice to the three other states in Pahang, Terengganu and Kelantan? Why offer only to Selangor, which is already more developed than those three states?
So, but speaking of states, Rosli, why was Negeri Sembilan left out in this northern alignment?
Oh, it's simple. It's political. Very simple answer. Negeri Sembilan is under the administration of Pakatan Harapan government. So it's Selangor, yeah, but they need to connect to Port Klang. They have got no choice. So they have to deal with Selangor state government.
Should Malaysia relook into our rail infrastructure plans? After all, we seem to have ambitions with the ECRL, HSR, but do these projects make economic sense in the long run?
In the past, we emphasized on building highways throughout the country. Now, if we look at it objectively, the highway is playing a much bigger role than the rail network. So now, if you build ECRL between two regions, like Selangor and the East Coast region and so on, that's not where the needs are. That's not where the alignment, where the cargo are most needed. The East Coast, logistically, demands very little goods from the West Coast. There's no commodities coming from East Coast that need to be exported via Port Klang. So unless we have got like coal, iron ore that need to be brought from the East Coast to the port, then we build the railway system. But no, I mean, you know, we don't have such commodities. So to build a railway system for 665 kilometers just to cater for a few travelers, I think it's very uneconomical. If we want to serve for development agenda, then we have to look at the cargo movement. So most of the cargo movements now happen along the west coast of the country. And yet we have got KTMB, which can't even play that role. So how is ECRL going to play that role when KTMB, which has got double line, double track, cannot play that role? ECRL has got single track, which the minister failed to emphasize. You know what happens with single track railway. It's very slow. It's very cumbersome. It has to stop at almost every station to let the opposite train pass through. It's not going to be a fast train. So, you know, we are spending a lot of money for something that we don't really need.
So do we really need more railways then?
Of course, once the volume, on the, especially along the West Coast, is getting more and more, we need effective rail system to take the traffic off the road, off the highways. Because now you can see that our North-South Highway is very, very congested. The role which the government should play is to come up with a policy that dangerous goods cannot be transported by highways, by road. It should go on the railway. But we don't have such policy. Now, all the heavy laden vehicles on the highway could cause accidents. It's very dangerous. So once accident happens, you know, the whole highway gets blocked. So this is another matter that the government should look into seriously, transferring some of those cargo from highways onto the railway system. Then the railway system can carry more goods, more freight. Unless the policy is in place, the railway is going to be the second feeder to the highways. There is a role for rail to play. In fact, in a lot of major developed countries like Germany, France, UK and so on, the volume of cargo carried by rail are far more superior than the highways. They carry more goods, more freight than roads. So we are the opposite. KTMB carry only about 2.5% of the total cargo movement in the country, whereas the highway take over the rest, which is, shouldn't be the case. We should reverse this figure.
Ultimately, do you see these infrastructure projects as a social good that ultimately has to be subsidised, or can the service perhaps pay for itself?
Is railway systems, generally speaking, are very expensive to maintain. So unless you have got a good decent revenue yearly, which can pay for the maintenance and the operation and so on, I don't think ECRL will be able to sustain by itself without getting subsidy from the government. I don't think so.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Rosli. That was a transport management consultant and FMT columnist, Rosli Khan, speaking to us about whether or not the country really needs the ECRL, which has the ECRL 3.0 project has just been given the green light. He asks this because we already have the KTMB in place. That is a double track railway as opposed to the single track ECRL, which he points out will be a lot slower and more cumbersome.
Let's see what you think, though. On Twitter poll, we asked, do you agree with the ECRL project? We've got 26% who say yes, it's good for the economy. 31% says maybe, depends on cost. And 40% say no, not worth the investment. 2.5% unsure.
Do continue to let us know what you think on the poll. That's on the Twitter account at BFM Radio. But right now, we're heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wang Xiaoning will be speaking with Effendi Shahul Hamid, Group CEO of Touch & Go Group. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.